ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Vishnu Sahasranama 526 is Swabhavyaha. Just a comment going back to the previous name, Maharha, who is most worshipable, highly worshipable. There are other worshipable persons. The Sanskrit dictionary gives Arha one. Meaning of the name Arha is Indra. But one important distinction between Krishna and others who are worshipable is that he's always worshipable. Indra, the jiva who's Indra, is now in that position of being worshipable, but in a future existence, he'll be in some very ordinary situation. But Krishna is always worshipable because he is Swabhavya, he's situated in his situation of, that's Swabhavya means, one meaning is situated in his own situation. You can try not to yawn, it makes me feel sleepy, as if it's not very interesting or something. So he's, every jiva is aja, unborn, but Krishna is always situated in that position of being unborn. The jiva in the material world is not in that position. He's not situated in his own actual position of being unborn, of being deathless, beyond death. Krishna always is. Someone may become worshipable in this material world, but that situation changes. Who is a king today may be a worm tomorrow, according to his karmic reactions. That's why kings, they always, in Vedic times, they'd always perform sacrifices, because it's very easy to, in the position of a king, to incur grossly sinful reactions. So Krishna is always fully worshipable by everyone. He's situated in that. He's always situated in that situation. And for anyone else to be worshipped, it's unnatural. For Krishna to be, Krishna's natural position is to be the Supreme Personality of Godhead. For others, they're just imitating that, yeah. Of course, we may worship someone because of their relationship with Krishna. And in fact, in Vedic culture, worshipping, yesterday I spoke about the worship of the guru. Guru means the various kinds of gurus, beginning with the mother and the father. And any senior may be, in any way, may be called a guru, especially by age, or by caste, by birth caste. They may be called guru. But they are to be worshipped or respected because of their relationship with Krishna, because they give knowledge of Krishna. They guide one in a manner that one may advance toward Krishna. Otherwise, cats and dogs, as Prabhupada often pointed out, they also have mothers and fathers. So intrinsically, the relationship of mother and father to son or daughter, it's not intrinsically sacred. In one sense, even if one doesn't give knowledge of Krishna consciousness, even then, because it gives the human birth, and the human birth is the opportunity to cultivate Krishna consciousness, so even then, it's the parents may be respected, or as a formality, they should be. at least as a formality, they should be respected. But that situation may be reversed. The Srila Prabhupada notes that it's quite common that someone, they get reborn in their own family. So you could be, someone could be the father in one life and there's the grandson in another life. Grandson of himself, that means the son of his own son. That's quite possible. So that one is respected or worshipped, Arha, the previous name is Maharha, that situation may continue for one lifetime, but then it changes. But Krishna is Aja, he's unborn, he's always situated in that position of being the Supreme Lord, just like Jiva Sarup Hoy Krishna Nitya. Thus, the eternal position of the Jiva is to serve Krishna. The eternal position of Krishna is to accept worship from the Jiva. But the Jiva doesn't always know that. So he's not Swabhavya. Krishna is Swabhavya. He's situated in his own position. Always. Etad-ishanam ishasya prakriti stopi tad-gunai. Na yujyate sadatmastayan yata buddhistadashraya. The godliness of God, what makes him God, or one of the factors that makes him God, is that even though he's situated in the material world, he's not affected by material nature. And that extends also to his devotees, those who have taken shelter of him. Mahatma nastu mang partha daivin prakriti maashritaha. Tadashrayaha. He's those who are sheltered by him. They are Mahatmas. They're on the same platform of Krishna. Not, of course, not fully. Just like the sparks of a fire have the same quality of the fire, but in very minute quantity to the fire. Or the drop of the ocean is the same quality as the ocean. But the drop of water can't make a tsunami. The whale can't live in a drop of water. So there are similarities and differences also. So Krishna is Swabhavya. And all the names of, I just weaving in how the two previous names, Aja and Maharha, they can be understood in relation to each other and in relationship to this name, Swabhavya. But actually this name, it qualifies all the other names in Vishnu Sahasranam, because they all describe his qualities. And all the qualities that are described in there, they are inherent to Krishna's nature. It's not that he does something to become God, as Srila Prabhupada often pointed out. Krishna, he showed his quality as the Supreme Lord, even when he was on the lap of his mother, by killing Putana. He didn't undergo, nor did he have any opportunity at that age to undergo austerities, to try to get some power. Naturally, all these qualities are inherent in him. So someone may become very powerful by performing yoga, or very rich by doing business, but they'll never be as powerful as Krishna, they'll never be as rich as Krishna. And whatever they have, it's borrowed plumes. Srila Prabhupada uses that term. One should not be proud of one's borrowed plumes. That nothing actually belongs to us. Not even any abilities we may have. But everything is inherent in Krishna, because he is the source of everything. That's one meaning. Some other meanings. Bhavya, this term, gives the idea of coming into being. It's a common word that we find in Bhagavad Gita, Bhuta Bhavana. He whereby everything, all living beings and all the elements, everything comes into being. That's the name of Krishna, Bhuta Bhavana. Bhavana also means thinking, emotion. The words bhav and bhavana, bhava, they're all very, they're all interrelated. And sva, so this name, svabhavya, it's composed of these two, which can be sva abhavya also. It can be abhavya. So these two components of this name. Sva means own. So, bhava can also mean existence. So one who is situated in his own existence. Which might seem a bit strange. Surely everyone and everything is situated in its own existence. A cow is not a dog. A cow is always possessed of the quality of cowness. Some Platonic overtones here. For those of you who might have studied a little bit about Plato's speculations about reality. Okay, that's true. A cow is always fully imbued with the quality of cowness. We don't see... A living being is born as a dog, and from the moment of birth, it lives, and apart from the body that it has, which looks completely dog-like, it has the nature of a dog. I had this a bit of an insight into that some years ago at ISKCON Baroda at the back there. You know this? You heard this before? You're laughing. I don't know what you're laughing about. It's not time to... If you want to laugh, the laugh comes a little later. The punchline didn't come yet. So I was walking at the back there, chanting japa, and I saw this bitch who lived in that area. There were always a few dogs living at ISKCON Baroda on the property, who had been pregnant, was no longer pregnant. Which means that she'd given birth to the pups. And then I saw the pups, she'd given birth to them, just in a little very bamboo thicket, not really a thicket, but just at the side there, a few bamboo trees. The side means the wall is there. So I stooped down to look at them, and they couldn't have been more than a few hours old, and immediately they started barking at me. I thought, wait a minute, you weren't even here just a short time ago. But immediately they have that realization. They have the dog nature. They don't have to go to a school to learn personality development, how to be a dog. They're dogs. They just have that swabhav, that nature. In a previous life, they might have been a camel, and then they'd instead of... What camel noise they make? That ooh. No, that's more like a monkey noise. Different kinds of monkeys also. The monkeys around here don't make that kind of noise. The white ones make that hooting kind of noise. So a monkey's always going to be like, well, of course, there is this story. It's only a story that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur told. I doubt if he is the originator of it, of the wise old monkey. But monkeys aren't wise. They might be somewhat intelligent. You can do experiments with monkeys to show how they have some kind of intelligence, but they're never wise. A monkey will jump around and be a monkey. Monkey business. It has that swabha. So we get to... According to our desires and our activities, we are awarded different bodies. within the material nature and the different kind of mentality that goes with it. With the monkey body goes monkey mentality. Human life is more complex. But even within creatures like cows, we see some are aggressive, some are very peaceful, some are mostly cows are gregarious, some of them are more like loner types. Personality, different personality. But anyway, the point I'm getting at here is that we get different bodies and different mentalities. In one lifetime, one person might be largely conducted in sattva-guna, the mode of goodness. In another lifetime, they may be more in the mode of passion. But Krishna is always situated in his own nature. He's always Krishna. And what is that nature? Unpredictable. Some things are predictable. Predictable that he'll always protect his devotees. He's always the supreme. He's always very merciful. But especially in Krishna's lila, especially his Vrindavan lila, his activities tend to be quite unpredictable. But that he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead always. He's the fixed point, just like the Dhruvatara, the pole star. The pole star's position doesn't change. Everything else changes. That's why in Vedic cosmology, it's stated that all the planets, they orbit around the pole star. So that's fixed. And the sailors navigating, nowadays they don't do that. It's all by computer. But they navigate at night by the pole star. Because that's in a fixed position. Dhruvatara, that's called. The star of Dhruva. Dhruva means, apart from the personality, Dhruva Maharaj, also it means fixed, firm. So in that way also, Dhruvatara. It's also a name of Vishnu, which is coming up. We haven't come to that yet in the Vishnu Sahasranam, named Dhruva. So Krishna is fixed as the Supreme Personality. It's not that someday he says, oh, I'm fed up of being merciful. Let's just go and just throw all these people in hell and burn them forever. Or I'm fed up of all these devotees. I'll become in the mode of ignorance or something. And no question. Krishna is always as he is. He's reliable, just like the pole star is reliable. Krishna is always reliable. We know that if we turn to Krishna, if sincerely, he will accept us. Krishna is reliable. He's always situated in his swabhav. He's not whimsical. There's order in the universe. That order comes from Krishna. He doesn't whimsically destroy the universe at some, of course he could at any time destroy the whole universe, but there's a specified time for that. He's not whimsical. So these are all points that can be understood from the name Swabhava. Now, another meaning, Swa. Swa means his own. So his own can be understood to mean his devotees. And the devotees, they meditate on him. So that's one meaning. He's meditated on they think about him. The devotees always think of him. Satatam kirtiyantomam. They always glorify him. Ananyas chintayantomam. They always think of him. Another meaning can be that he thinks about himself also. Everyone always thinks about themselves. So does Krishna. Or let's say it's the tendency of everyone to think about themselves. Or even if they're not directly thinking about themselves, it's just inescapable fact that we, our consciousness or our perception, our awareness of everything is from ourself as the center. So Krishna also. That doesn't mean that we should be self-centered. We should also see the position of others. Krishna, he's situated in himself. We may be situated in ourselves in terms of thinking, in terms of this body. We're situated in a certain body. But Krishna is localized, and he's also with every other living being. So he knows, even though he's situated in himself, he's not just himself. He knows the consciousness. We know our own consciousness. Every living being, he knows his own swabhav. But Krishna knows the swabhav of others also. He knows the feelings of everyone. He's with everyone. He's quite conscious, fully conscious. Even he's more conscious of ourselves than we are. He knows our deeply rooted desires called sanskaras, deep in the heart, or the impressions deep in the heart, which we're not even aware of. And therefore Krishna gives different opportunities to fulfill different desires which we may not even be aware of. Just like a child, he's not even aware that we say a child is very innocent because he doesn't have sexual desires, but he does, but they're just dormant, that's all. There's a time when they'll become manifest. So Krishna, he's situated himself in himself, but he's not self-centered. Self-centeredness, egoism, atmopam yena sarvatya samam pashyati yojuna sukham va yadivadu kam sayogi paramo mataha. The topmost yogi, Krishna says, is one who starts his godliness to not only see one's own situation and think in terms of my own pleasure and distress, but to consider others also. They also have pleasure and distress just like me. And so why should I just think of myself? So Krishna, even though he's fully situated in himself, he's fully self-sufficient in himself, but it's not that he's selfish. When he thinks of himself, he also thinks that I'm intimately related with all other living beings. And actually, we are also. So we should, taking a cue from Krishna, we should also not be selfish and self-centered. Even though he is the center of everything, we experience the universe with ourselves in the center, but actually Krishna is the center. But he's not selfish. He attracts everyone to him, being Krishna, all attractive. But he doesn't do that to exploit others, but rather to give his love to others. Just like the mother may call the children, come, come, come. So she's not calling them so she can beat them, but so she can feed them. So in the same way, Krishna attracts everyone to him because he wants to share his love with them. One of the meanings given here is swabhavya, he was naturally without a beginning. Yeah, so that fits with the aja, unborn. Others, the jivas, they are aja, but if we tell people that actually you're not the body, they may think it's very strange, especially in cultures where people are raised without the understanding that we take body after body. They think, oh, it's very strange to think that, I had another life, because they very strongly identify with this is me, this body. They find it very difficult to even conceive that they could have, some people, that they were in another body. They think, I was born I'm 50 years old, and before I was born, I didn't exist. There was no such thing as I. So they are beginningless, but it seems to them, the idea that they're beginningless seems unnatural. They say, yeah, I had a beginning. It's there in my birth certificate. It's all documented. But no, they are beginningless. But Krishna, there's not even any semblance of his beginning. We could say that. Yes, he is born. That's a show. Because he's not, he knows himself. Bahuni meve atitani janmani tavacha Arjuna. He knows. Both you and I, Arjuna, have had many births. Tani ahang veda sarvani natu veda. Natvang veda parantapa. You know this body, but you don't know your previous bodies. But I know them all. So he's naturally without a beginning. So he's naturally the master of everything. It's others may take themselves to be the master of this. I am the master of this house. I am, this property is mine, but it's an unnatural imposition because actually we don't have any relationship of master or servant or any such thing in this world. But Krishna is naturally the master of everything. Another meaning that he exists, is present everywhere and in everything without exception. His personal presence is in everything that comes into being. So he's in everything, everywhere, without any exception. There's so many meanings could be derived from this. He's situated in his own nature. His own nature, fortunately, is good. He desires the welfare of all living beings. That is his nature. His nature is to be very kind. He's not disturbed. He remains calm, situated in his own nature, unaffected by various upheavals. Devotees, of course, there are so many facets to Krishna nature. We say he's calm and undisturbed, but sometimes he gets angry also. Tanahang drishata kruran sangsare shunaradamang shikpyami adyasrama shubhan narakesh. I always forget the last line. Anyway, he becomes angry, Prabhupada points out. Asurishveva yonish. Prabhupada points out, he becomes angry with the demons. So that's all part of his swabhav. All contradictions result in him. But the prime point of his personality, which devotees look to, his kindness, his sweetness, his beauty, his love. Swabhava. Another meaning is that even though he comes into being, Ajopi Sanavya Yama Bhutanam Ishvaropi San Prakritim Swamadhishtaya Sambhavamayamamaya. He's unborn, but he comes into being. He manifests. You may say, well, that's true of everyone. Everyone in the world. But he comes, Atmamaya, he Swabhava. He comes into being by his own self, his own energy, his own desire. Not that someone else chooses. We didn't choose for. I didn't choose this body to be born in it, or what the bodily features look like, or what my particular mental disposition is. That's all chosen for us. Karmana daivanitrena jantur deho papattaye, under the supervision of the Supreme Lord and various demigods, the living being attains a certain kind of body. We don't choose. But Krishna, he's not in that situation. He comes into being out of his own choice. He himself thinks, swabhava, let me come and deliver the conditioned souls. And he comes on his own volition. He doesn't need to be born from the womb of a mother. He's born apparently from the womb of Devaki, from the womb of Yashoda, from the womb of Aditi, Kausalya. He has so many mothers. But then he can appear from a pillar, from the nose of Brahma. Brahma didn't feel, oh, I got a baby in my nostril. I'm pregnant in my nostril. He didn't feel like that. He just popped out, just like someone might sneeze and a globule of gob might come out. Just comes out. Of course, Krishna, he's always pure, even in the form of a pig, or even coming out of the nose. Something which comes out of the nose is contaminated. Not Krishna. When he comes out of the nostril of Brahma, he comes out. Why? Not that Brahma has so many mental sons. He consciously brings them into being, but he didn't have any idea that Varaha was coming. He didn't even know who he was. What's this? What's going on here? I wasn't expecting that. Krishna, he doesn't need Brahma. He doesn't need Brahma is the original Prajapati, who gives birth to all the living beings. Krishna Swabha, he comes by, and he brings others into being also by his own desire. All the living beings come into being, beginning with Brahma, who is born from Vishnu without the help of Lakshmi. He's not that Lakshmi, Narayana is the father of Brahma, but he's not born from Lakshmi. So he's self-sufficient in that way. So in this way, devotees, as Baladev Vidyabhushan says, the devotees can meditate on him as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Swabhavya, they thinking of him as their own, that he is ours, he is everything to us. Tumi matro amar bandhu bhai, everything, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, you are everything to me. Hare Krishna. This could be like all other names, but particularly this one could be elaborated on in so many ways. Very interesting name, seems to me. Oh, another thing. Swa-abhav. One who doesn't think about himself. I said that. He's not selfish. He's not always thinking about himself, that what do I want? He's thinking of the pleasure of his devotees and the benefit even of the non-devotees. What's your question?
In this name, I was thinking of the verse, and then that along with the previous name,
yeah.
As
very good, very good. Yeah. Ete changsha kala pungsa, Krishna's two Bhagavan Swayam. Yeah?
His actual subhav is as Vajendra
Nandan,
I thought that could also be meaning
to
this, that his subhav.
What he really likes to do is to be Krishna in Vrindavan. That's his inner godliness. He's not to be God, but to be Krishna in Vrindavan. So he is the supremely worshipable Lord, Supreme Personality of Godhead. But his own desire is to be in Vrindavan with the cows and the cowherd men and the cowherd girls. That's what he likes to think about. Even when he's in Dwarka, he's thinking, what's he thinking about? He's thinking about Vrindavan. So, Hare Krishna.